As a new chaplain intern, I walked into the emergency department one afternoon to do rounds, which meant checking in with each of the nurses in the different pods or stations. As I approached the first station, Pod A, one of the nurses, who looked a little bit harried, said, "Oh, good, you're here." Uh-oh. I didn't have any idea what she was talking about, so I asked her what she needed. She proceeded to tell me that an elderly woman was near death, and her four middle-aged daughters were with her. She wanted me to go in and see if they wanted a chaplain. I said, "Absolutely. I will go in and see them right now." In my head, I was thinking, uh-oh, this is going to be my first chance to really be with a patient who's in crisis, in this very tender moment in this family's lives. And I just hope that I'm up to the challenge and I can bring a little bit of peace and comfort. I had no time, though, to gather my thoughts and create a game plan because the nurse quickly asked me to follow her. She walked briskly to the open door of the nearby room. She pulled back the curtain and went in. I followed right behind her into that tiny cramped room. And I saw the patient, and she had her eyes closed. She was unresponsive. But her daughters were gathered so gently around her, each one kind of placed around the bed. And there was one little spot for me kind of at the foot of the bed. And I noticed that these people were filled with this intense moment. It was something that I gathered came on suddenly, and they were really there to provide support and comfort for their mother, who they so dearly loved. I wondered if they were going to say something and share something about their mother's life and what she had been through, because as families share, it kind of gives us that information so we know, okay, this is what they need to hear in case later on they ask me to pray for them, because not all families do ask to have a prayer said. So I stood there kind of wondering, I wonder if they're going to say something. And it was almost as if the daughter closest to me could hear my thoughts, because she looked at me and she said, "Can you say a prayer?" And I said, "Absolutely." And I bowed my head and I prayed silently. And I thought, where did that come from? Why did I do that? What was I waiting for, expecting? In fact, I had a little hymnal in my hand for that very moment, so that I could look up a prayer and give some words of comfort. But in that moment, I felt like, my goodness, I'm just going to say this silent prayer now. And as I stay with this family and I wait with them, there'll come another opportunity where I can say another prayer for them. And I can give them those words of comfort and healing after I've gotten to know them a little bit better. It was quite an experience. I thought to myself, why did you do that? Of course they were expecting me to pray aloud. That's what chaplains do. Oh my goodness, what on earth was I thinking? When I had finished that private prayer to the divine, the sister who was nearest the mother said, "Mom, the chaplain prayed for you." Bless her heart. I'm sure that they were puzzled by my silent prayer, but they didn't react because it wasn't about me in that moment. They were focused on their loved one and being with her and comforting her, as they should. Now, in my mind, this was an epic fail. I just don't know why. I prayed silently. But I was hoping that I would get that chance to pray one more time with them. But I never got that opportunity. The family wanted to get a priest to say last rites because their mother was Catholic. So I went and I tried to call the priest on call, but I never could get a hold of him. After about an hour and a half, this patient gently passed away. She was surrounded by the loving embrace of her daughters. I learned so many valuable lessons that afternoon. It doesn't matter if you have the right words to say or not. Prayer only requires that you have the courage to listen and to express what you feel deep in your heart. I also learned that when presented with the opportunity to pray for others, offering words of comfort, healing, and hope, you seize that moment because you never know if you will get the opportunity to articulate your thoughts, feelings, or wishes to those individuals ever again. Now, as this story clearly illustrates, I was not totally comfortable with praying aloud, as this was a completely new experience for me. I think many people feel the same ambivalence about prayer as I do, for various reasons. Some people might be put off, thinking that prayer is strictly a religious act. They wonder if they must believe in a God or a higher power in order to pray. One might also be reluctant to pray if you believed that you must have faith for prayer to actually work. Another concern might be that prayer is unnecessary if one already engages in other spiritual practices, such as meditation. Prayer can also bring up some old wounds and hurts in many people, especially if they were forced to pray or the theology was found in certain prayers, made them feel ashamed of themselves or of their behavior. Now, fortunately for me, as I was growing up, praying was something that didn't really stir up old wounds. It was just something completely foreign to me, which could make me feel uncomfortable and as if I was on the outside looking in when surrounded by other people of faith. If I think back to my earliest memories of prayer, I can easily trace my feelings of ambivalence about the spiritual practice. You see, my family never went to church, temple, or synagogue, or spent time engaging in religious or spiritual practices. However, our culture is saturated with religion. For example, the only show on Sunday mornings that was really worth watching, at least in my eyes, was that Davy and Goliath, the kind of Christian children's program that was sort of animated from way back in the 50s. I certainly could relate to those values shared about being a good person and treating others as you wanted to be treated. But I didn't have a family that went to church or prayed like the characters on the show. I wondered why my parents didn't have a community of faith or didn't engage in different spiritual practices, because they were good people too, after all. As I got older, I started to meet people who enjoyed a rich spiritual life. For instance, when I was in junior high, I babysat two young girls on the weekends and during the summer. Part of the ritual that really touched my heart was putting the girls to bed and sharing stories with them. And after the stories, they had a routine where they would pray. And I thought, not used to this. I would listen to them and share that moment as they said their prayers. They would dutifully recite the classic children's bedtime prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, this part of the ritual was confusing for me. This really seemed like a morbid and rather frightening prayer. The girls never seemed bothered by it, however, so I wondered if maybe it was my own bias getting in the way of me appreciating the practice or not. I enjoyed the ritual of it, but the words scared me. I thought prayers were supposed to bring healing, comfort, and hope to those in need. Facing your own mortality and thinking about someone taking your soul seemed like the antithesis of that to me. Now, I must say, though, there's a ray of sunshine. The second part of their prayer ritual had a light, an uplifting feel that really resonated with me, and it kept me from dismissing the practice of prayer altogether. The girls would list all of the people and things that were in their hearts and souls for God to bless. They would list their families, friends, and pets, and cherished possessions. They would also include their babysitter, which never ceased to touch my heart. The fact that these young girls wanted God to remember their caregiver was so sweet and loving. It created that special bond between me and the girls. I discovered that prayer can actually strengthen relationships and be a vehicle for expressing the depth of your emotion for other beings and the entire universe. This relational aspect of prayer intrigued me, and it touched a need in my very core. Another just experience that seemed to just touch my heart, lift me up, was when I spent a few Sundays visiting my best friend's Catholic church when I was a teenager. I had no idea what the theology was, but I was drawn to the exquisite silence as people got down on their knees and prayed. I felt the sacredness of the act as people feverishly offered their silent gratitude, their confession, or their prayers of intercession, asking for something for others. I saw the beauty in these private conversations with God. I must admit that something in me yearned to have a relationship with something greater than myself too. I just didn't know how to go about making that happen. I kept my desires to myself, sensing that my family would not approve. It would be quite a while before I'd poke my toe into the waters of a community of faith again. But shortly, actually it was about 10 years almost, when my daughter started getting older. And I started thinking, gosh, I have these memories of this connection of praying and being in church and invoking the sacred. And I want to tap into that. I want to figure out a place where I can be accepted and I can create my belief system. So I began looking for that community of faith. And I discovered Unitarian Universalism. So one of the things I was really interested in was if you use prayed. Now, as with most things in our liberal faith, I don't have to tell you, there does not seem to be any real consensus. Not a bit. Some people believe in prayer and some people do not. However, I believe that all you use can agree on the fact that prayer is a personal matter and a personal choice, as are all spiritual practices. Now, for example, most of the congregations that I have had the honor of being a part of have preferred to have a time of meditation in the service rather than a prayer. However, everyone is invited to use that meditation times in the way that serves them best in that particular moment. One can clear the mind and decide to meditate. One can sit silently, or one can say a prayer if that's what's on their heart. I find that beautiful. Some of the most profound moments of my life have happened in a UU context involving this power of prayer. My call to the ministry was fully realized when I saw my minister. He was kneeling down in front of a woman in the congregation who had cancer, who had really taken a quick turn for the worse, and she was in a wheelchair. And she was a beloved member of the congregation, and she needed to be around her community of faith. She needed that support, and she wanted to hear a message of hope. And so the minister kneeled down, grabbed her hand, and was saying a prayer with her and for her. And it so moved another member of the congregation that she walked up behind and she placed her hand on the woman's shoulder and she started praying. And I stood there mesmerized and said, "That's it. That's what I've been looking for ever since I was a kid. That's what I want to do. I want to have that connection. I want to give that sense of hope and healing and be a part of the relationship. Not the most important part, just one of the pieces." It was an achingly beautiful moment for me. When I felt the love and connection flowing between the minister and the women and the divine, it took my breath away. Somehow, just the fact that I had glimpsed this moment of deep compassion made me a part of the experience. I knew then and there that I needed to answer the call to ministry. And what was most surprising is this was a particular congregation that was very small, very humanist, and they did not pray at all in a service. I had never seen it before. So the fact that they brought out what was needed at the time was a rich and beautiful experience. And I'm so glad they were open to that. Another very rich experience I had was when a member of a UU congregation shared with me how prayer had made a difference in his life. Now, this was quite a statement, because this particular gentleman was an atheist and had been for many years. He was known to say vocally out loud in the middle of church that he did not like prayer and worship. He was also very vocal in conveying that he didn't want people to pray for him during his recent bouts with illness. In fact, when someone forgot and said, "I'll be praying for you," he said, "Please don't." So naturally, I was really inquisitive and curious and wanted to know how prayer had particularly touched this man's life and gave him comfort in the dark times. So he decided to share with me. And he said that when he was really sick, really not doing well, on dialysis, worried about his future, he would recite the Serenity Prayer, which he had learned from Alcoholics Anonymous many years ago. He said that he would simply remove the first word, God, and he would recite the prayer over and over to him, saying this little mantra. And he said it actually got him through the tough times when he felt that he just didn't have enough strength to go on. He said that he wasn't saying the prayer to someone else out there. He was saying it so that he could hear the words himself. And that made all the difference. He needed that prayer to remind himself that compassion and healing start from within one's own soul. I believe that he is a powerful testimony that one doesn't have to believe in God in order to benefit from prayer. As a Unitarian Universalist, my experiences in the faith have taught me that it doesn't matter whom you pray to or what words you say. All that matters is that you pray from your heart, with your truth, and with love. Praying also takes a leap of faith because it embraces that wonder and mystery of life. We open ourselves up to something we can never fully know or even understand when we pray. But if we're willing to create the space in our hearts and souls for love and connection so expansive that it includes the possibility of the unknown, then transformation can take place. Reverend Karen Herring says, prayer is a willingness to be changed by our relationship to something larger than ourselves, opening our hearts and our awareness to the largest circles of life itself. Prayer can be sometimes something so elusive, something we just can't seem to grasp. But the benefits of prayer manage to settle into our hearts and our collective consciousness anyway. Even though I didn't offer words of comfort to the daughters of the patient who was near death, I did say a heartfelt prayer for her gentle passing and for her daughters and her other family members to be accompanied and supported during this time and to allow the stages of grief to come as they would. I believe that just saying the words, even silently in that hospital room, was sending out some healing energy into the universe and offering just a small bit of comfort to all. Reverend Herring says, with or without speech, prayer is born of breath and bones and hearts held up to ancient connection. It is the deepest song of the sea surrounding us. It is the oldest trace of living starlight that is buried in us and cannot be contained. When I think of the beautiful line, hearts held up to the ancient connections, I think of the deep connection we have to ourselves, all being, the earth, and the divine. And I'll tell you, here in this space with no walls, I mean, I feel that connection tangibly. It's so rich. The special connection to the oneness of all points us in the direction of living our lives as a prayer. To me, this means that everything we do or say needs to be done mindfully with our open heart. Therefore, the very act of sitting, chatting with someone, or doing the laundry or cooking, all those things we do every day, should be done in that beautiful spirit of prayer. Now, this is certainly no easy task. We all get grumpy and mad and jealous and fearful and anxious at times. For example, when someone cuts you off in traffic, making you slam on the brakes, let's be honest, the first thought that pops in your head is not, oh, this is a prayerful moment. No. We have to try to take some time to reframe the event in our minds. Instead of focusing on the anger and the fear that quickly surface in the heat of the moment, acknowledge those feelings. Don't brush them off. They're there. Welcome them. Take a deep breath or two and then thank the universe just for being alive. It's far from easy, but it is doable. Patience and practice. Praying means lifting up the great joys in our lives, as well as those deep sorrows. It's not all rainbows and roses. Living your life as a prayer means being fully attentive to what is happening in your life, both the positive things and the negative things. It means naming and acknowledging those life transitions, such as loss, death, disconnection, pain, and trauma, as well as all the joyful moments, the moments that bring us happiness and peace. It means letting ourselves and others lean into our deep feelings without sweeping them away, letting us sit with our feelings and emotions as long as we personally need to, so that eventually, when we're ready, we can allow the healing process to take effect. Prayer reminds us that we're never alone in this life. We live abundantly when we learn to open our hearts to the sacred connections that surrounds us. May you live your lives as a prayer, filled with an open heart and an awareness of the ancient and the present connections that sustain us and give our lives true meaning and purpose. May it be so. Amen.